Hebrews chapter 11. And let's read the first six verses. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Our subject today is faith. And we have all heard about this subject a lot in our lives. Faith is a very important thing. It's a very vital thing. Look at chapter 10, verse 38. Just before chapter 11, it says, "Now the just shall live by faith." It's how the just are going to live. By way of faith. "If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." So it's obviously a vital thing. And when we read passages like this that say, "The just shall live by faith, and if any man draw back, I'll have no pleasure in it," it can be a very mysterious thing. Very hard to understand and very hard to explain. If we had to explain faith to somebody, it's hard to explain. The book of James says that faith without works is dead. But we don't believe in salvation by works. But it says the just shall live by faith. So the question is, and the subject is, really honestly, what is faith? What is it? What is saving faith? And how does it apply to us? How does it apply to us? And how do we approach it? Meaning, how do we approach it in our hearts and in our minds? How do we think about it? And how do we understand, really and truly, what is faith? Faith means to believe. Chapter 10, verse 39 says, "We are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe." Chapter 11, verse 6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe." So the question really is, what do we believe? What do we believe? Because every human being on planet Earth says they have faith. Every church meeting this morning is talking about faith and encouraging people to have faith. Everybody has faith in something or someone. But the Lord said in 2 Thessalonians 3:2, all men have not faith. All men have not faith. Saving faith. So, again, let's take a minute to look at what is faith. What do we believe? Verse 1 says that faith is the substance of things hoped for. the reference to the word substance there. It says the ground or the confidence. Faith is where our confidence comes from. Our confidence. Sadly, we have all, I definitely have, and expect that we have all had doubts. Doubts. Honestly. It's a horrible thought. But at some point, I'm sure we have all said, is this real? Wait a minute. Is there really life after death? And then we snap out of it. Absolutely it's real. Absolutely it's real. How can we be so sure? How can we be so confident? Faith. Confidence. It's our substance. Faith is our substance. All right, what is faith? Verse 1 goes on to say, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 18 says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We look at things which are seen all the time. We want things which are seen. All the time. We hope for things which are seen all the time. It's flesh. But the reason that we are all here this morning is to look at things which we cannot see. Real things. If we can see it, it's temporary. It's not real. It won't last. It's not real. If we can see it, it's not real. So, faith is the evidence of things that we cannot see. In a courtroom, when they bring in evidence, what they're bringing in is proof. It's proof. Facts. They say, we found this gun at that crime scene. Here's the proof. Faith is our evidence. It's our evidence. It's our substance that we have evidence of things we cannot see. Verse 2 says, for by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. If we are going to receive what we hope for, and what we hope for is eternal life. That's what we hope for. Eternal life. There's only one way to have eternal life. But that's what we hope for, is eternal life. If we are going to receive what we hope for, we're going to need a good report. We really are. We're going to have to, the books are going to be opened. And when my name is found, I'm going to have a good report. If we have any hope of entering into His holy kingdom, where sin cannot enter in, then we're going to have a good report. Our elders who have gone before us, Brother Scott is in glory right now. How did he get there? He had a good report. How can we obtain a good report? Verse 2 says, by faith. By way of faith. If we're going to have a good report, here's how we're going to get it. It's going to come to us by faith. It says, by it. That's what the word, that's what God wrote. By faith. By it. The elders obtained a good report. How'd they get it? They got it by faith. Verse 3 says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Through faith we understand. We understand. A person that does not have saving faith just does not understand. They just don't understand. Through faith, we understand. Faith is how we understand. Verse 4 says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. By it he being dead yet speaketh. Two brothers made a sacrifice to God. They both made a sacrifice to God. They both gave up something and made a sacrifice to God. Both of them did. Both of them did something. Both of them were active. One was accepted and one was not. And what was the difference? Faith. Faith. Now, I'm saying all this, and I'm getting to what is faith. To me, this is still not clear yet. One was made in faith, and one was not. God testified. That's what it says. God testified. Said, I accept this one, and I do not accept this other one. Verse 5 says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. There was a man named Enoch. He was our brother. He believed God. He was our brother. Just like any brother. He was a regular man. He was not a holy man. Moses was not a holy man. Noah was not a holy man. The Lord used these men, these regular men, and Enoch had regular problems and regular responsibilities. He lived 365 years. He had a lot of kids and a lot of grandkids and tons of teenagers all the time. He had problems. I'm sure he was vexed daily with things. He lived 365 years, Genesis says, waiting on the Lord. That's what we're doing. We're waiting on the Lord. What do we do all day, every day? We're just waiting on the Lord. We're waiting on Him to come back, and we're waiting on Him to tell us our next move. We're just waiting on the Lord. It says he walked with God, walking down a dirt road, a gravel road. His shoes weren't very good. He felt rocks under his feet. Just walking with God. Everybody had grass and mud huts. And one day, all of a sudden, one leg stepped into glory before the rest of his body did. And he's looking at Jesus Christ. Face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, wait a minute. Did that really happen? Honestly. Come on. Did that really happen? How is that possible? Verse 5 says, it happened. Here's how it happened. This is the way that this man was translated. He was translated. How was he translated? By faith. That's how it happened. It happened by faith. So faith is vital. Because verse 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. It's impossible. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. we can clearly see faith's importance. Now let's see if the Lord will open up to us truly what is faith. What is it? I'd like to look at three examples that the Lord gave of faith. Three times where the Lord said, that is faith. And I'd like to look at three facts that the Lord wrote about faith and see if this will clarify Hebrews 11 for us a little bit. We're going to turn quite a bit here, so bear with me. The first example is in Matthew chapter 9. First example is in Matthew 9. Verse 20 says, and behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. If we take the word for the written word, the Lord just said, your faith has made you whole. You know what made you whole? Your faith. That's interesting to me. That's really interesting. It's like he gave her something to glory in, didn't he? Not exactly. Let's look at our second example. It's in Matthew 8. It's back one page. Matthew 8. Verse 5 says, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The Lord said, I'll come to your house and heal him. This centurion said, Lord, I have a servant who I love. I love him. And he is tormented with the palsy. And the Lord said, I'm glad to come to your house and heal him. Let's go. We'll go right now. And this is what the man said. Verse 8. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. But if you just speak the word, I know my servant will be whole. Verse 9 says, for I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And unto another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. Now when Jesus heard this, he marveled. The Lord God marveled. Why would he write that? Why would he write that? He didn't have to write that. When Jesus heard it, he marveled. And he said unto everybody else, he said to them that followed, do y'all see this man over here? Can everybody see him? Them that followed. You see this centurion? I say unto you, verily, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith in all of Israel. Can everybody see this man right here? Now, he had something to glory in, didn't he? Not exactly. Third example is in Matthew 9 again, verse 1. Says, And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought unto him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins are forgiven. It says the Lord saw their faith. He wasn't even looking at the sick man's faith. It says he saw the faith of somebody else. And because of their faith, when the Lord saw their faith, that amount of faith that those men had, he said to this other man, your sins are forgiven because of their faith. Now, surely these men had something to glory in. They didn't. They had nothing to glory in. Here's why. Three facts. I'll try to make this a little faster. Hold your place in Matthew because we're going to turn back and look at these one more time. And turn to Ephesians chapter 2. We just read in Hebrews 11 that we must have faith to please God. Any religious person can see that. Every religious organization in the world is talking about faith. Everybody's talking about faith. But where religion gets it wrong is they take the credit for it. They take the credit for it. It's as though it's something they did. Ephesians 2 verse 8 says, For by grace, by gift, are you saved through faith. You're saved through faith. The way that we're saved is through faith. That's how we're saved. That's the vehicle in which we're saved. Faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that faith is not of yourself. It didn't start with you. It's a present. It's the gift of God. It's a present. Faith is something that we can possess, but it is not something that we can produce. It's not of ourselves. It's a gift. The gift of God. John 3:16 says, For God so loved the world that He gave a gift, a present. And what was that gift? His only begotten Son. So to clarify our first example, flip back over to Matthew 9. Verse 20 says, And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter. Daughter. That's his child. He already knew what she needed. Daughter, you be of good comfort. The gift of God has made you whole. That's what that means. And it says the woman was made whole from that hour. All right, turn to Philippians chapter 2. Our second fact is Philippians chapter 2. We already quoted James 2:20 that says, Faith without works is dead. And that's the truth. That's inspired by God who cannot lie. Faith without works is dead, dead faith. But where the world gets it wrong is they say, now it's your job to get it done. It's up to you. It's your responsibility. Now, what are you going to do? Because they sing songs like, I'm working on a building. I'm working on a building for my Lord. I'm going to build my mansion next to Jesus. There's a guy in Rocky Mount, and he's such a nice guy. He builds houses. And he went down somewhere, I don't know, New Orleans or somewhere, and he did some humanitarian work through his church. They call it mission work, but it's just humanitarian work. And he loves to wear his T-shirt, Carpenters for Christ. You ever seen that? When the Lord did the work, he said, it is finished. There is no more work. The Lord did the work. It's finished. The Lord went on to say in Ephesians 2, it's not of your works, lest any man should boast. And he says here in Philippians 2, verse 13, it is God which worketh in you, both to will, to want to, and to do of His good pleasure. Believers actually want to. They actually want to. And they actually do it. They want to, and they do it. And it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So to clarify our second example, go back to Matthew 8, verse 10 says, it's this centurion who came, and verse 10 says, when Jesus heard it, he marveled, and I believe he did. I don't believe that the Lord God of heaven would have written the word marveled if he didn't marvel. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and he said to everybody else, can everybody see this man? I have not seen so great a work of the Holy Spirit in a person as I see right here in this man. He's a centurion. He's mighty and noble. And not many mighty and noble are called. Now, if he was a beggar, I wouldn't marvel so much. But this man's high and mighty. Did you hear what he just said? The Holy Spirit hath done a mighty work right here. That man had nothing to glory in. The first fact that we believe is it's not something we produce. It's not of ourselves. It's completely a gift from Him, of Him. The second fact we believe is it's not something we perform. It's something we experience. We are doing it. We are doing it. We're all here, aren't we? Shouldn't we be proud of ourselves for being here? It's not something we perform, it's something we experience. All right, the last fact is in Hebrews 12. Hebrews chapter 12. A very well-known celebrity, singer from a long career, got caught up in drugs, and she basically ruined her career. And then she straightened up and flew right. She turned over a new leaf, and she was interviewed on Good Morning America. And they asked her, what pulled you out of those dark days and got you to where you are today? And her answer was, my faith. My faith. And as she talked a little bit more, it became very clear that what she meant was, my faith in me. My faith in me. The world says you have to believe in yourself. You've got to look down deep and you've got to find something in there. Find this faith. You've got to conjure it up. And you've got to believe in yourself that you're able. You can do anything you put your mind to. That is not where believers are looking. It's not. That is not where recipients of the work of the Holy Spirit are looking. Hebrews 12, verse 2 says, they are looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So to clarify our last example, turn back to Matthew 9. Verse 2 says, and behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed, and Jesus seeing. Now he's looking at these men. And Jesus seeing the gift of God unto them, he saw what God gave them. And Jesus Christ, seeing the work of the Holy Spirit in them at that moment in time, watching the Holy Spirit work, causing those men to 100% look to and hope in and believe on and trust in Christ, not themselves. Because of Christ, by Christ, and unto Christ. For Christ's sake. For Christ's sake, he said to this other man, your sins are forgiven for Christ's sake. Be of good cheer. And he said this too. Behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed, and Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, son, daughter. It's always a son or a daughter. Always. Son or a daughter. Son, I tell you what, you be of good cheer. The Lord did actually heal him. Took away his palsy. But first he said, let me tell you why you need to be happy. It's not because I'm going to take away your palsy. Things come and things go. What you hope for is eternal life. You're going to be here a few years and palsy might be taken away, but something else is going to come. So let me tell you why you need to be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. For Christ's sake, your sins are forgiven. Faith is the gift of Christ, the work of Christ, and the object of Christ. If a believer has faith, they have the gift of God unto them, and they have the work of God, the work of Christ, in them, and they have the object of Christ in front of them. That is what faith is. So let's sum all of that up by just saying Christ. One word. Christ. That's it. And go back to Hebrews 11 one more time. Now, every time to better understand Hebrews 11, every time we see the word faith, we're going to say Christ. Verse 1 says, now Christ is the substance of everything that I hope for. Christ is the evidence of everything that I cannot see. How do we know heaven exists? Jesus Christ came. He physically came from there. That's how I know heaven exists. And people saw him die, and people saw him get up. And people saw him fly away. I know heaven exists.
Jesus Christ came.
Verse 2 says, "For by Christ the elders attained a good report." Brother Scott's good report, what was it? When they said, "How do you plead?" What did he say? Christ. That's a good report. Verse 3 says, "Through Christ we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." Why don't we believe in evolution? Jesus Christ wrote Genesis 1. And I believe it. That's the only reason I don't believe in evolution. Well, there's probably a ton of reasons why I don't believe in evolution. "By Christ Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh." They told Abel, "This is exactly how you offer your sacrifice, because it's going to represent Jesus Christ. A lamb that was slain. Blood that was spilled. Because of Christ, that's why your sacrifice is accepted." Verse 5 says, "By Christ Enoch was translated." How are we going to get from this world to the next? I'm still going to be me, and you're still going to be you in the glorified body somehow. But Job said, "I know that with these eyes, I'm going to see God." We're really going to be there. How are we going to get there? Jesus Christ said, "I will carry you over. I'm going to pick you. I'm going to take you there. I'm the vehicle that gets you there by Christ." Verse 6 says, "But without Christ, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe Jesus Christ is God, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." I'll close with this. Although we take no part in the gift, the work, or the object of faith, it is our faith. It really is a gift. It really is a present to have and to hold. When bad news comes and hard times come, the only reason that we haven't committed suicide is because of the faith given to us by Jesus Christ. And it is an experience. It is really an experience. And we go through the motions of performing faith, and it is so enjoyable. And all the while we say, "It's not of me, it's the gift of God. That was a good thing, but it wasn't of me, it's the work of God." And the whole reason we do anything is because we're looking unto Him. It is an experience. It's a gift, and it's enjoyable. If we are one of His, He's going to provide for us either way. Young and old, never seen the righteous forsaken. If we are one of His, He is going to have mercy on us. If we're one of His, He's going to have mercy on us either way. So when these problems come, and they will come, they do all the time, we can either stay worried and flustered and hopeless, or we can relax. We can have peaceful rest in faith in Christ. The Lord will provide. The Lord will see to it. The Lord is my foundation. There is truly no more enjoyable experience to have than the experience of contentment and faith. And I say that as a weak person who needs more of it, not an expert on the subject. Psalm 42, verse 5 says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance." We all do say, "I don't see this in myself. I don't. I don't feel this in myself. And I'm reminded of the fact that the Lord said, you have not because you ask not. That is exactly why the disciples, His disciples, asked. And I want to ask, Lord, increase our faith. I'm always worried about money. Always. I'm always worried about money. That's not a good example of faith. And I was complaining about it the other day to Hannah, and it's like it dawned on me. I don't need any more money. I don't need one more dime. What I need is more faith. I actually have all the money I need. I don't have one bill collector after me. I could lose a few pounds. I don't need another dime. What I need is more faith. Lord, increase our faith. Increase your gift to us. Increase your work in us. And increase the amount of time we spend looking unto you. For Christ's sake. May the Lord bless His word.